This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Am I never this way in my heart before? Oh, oh,
welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box and the all-new 590 The Fan. 12 o'clock Sunday. The Gatesworth is the place to be. We're celebrating birthday number 92 of my mom, Mary Grace Cusimano. We're going to have quite a spread of Italian food and cake, and we're going to be at that lovely facility. There's nothing like going to the Gatesworth. 1 McKnight Place, 170 in Del Mar. The answer is always yes when you call down to the front desk. The food, the entertainment, it is absolutely outstanding. Now, each day we have a thing called Five for Frank. It's brought to you by our good friends at Greenville University. If you get a chance, go to that lovely school and take a look. It's one of the best in the metropolitan area, only about 40 minutes, basically, from downtown St. Louis. I love going there, and we appreciate them being a sponsor of this program. Time now for Five for Frank.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's Five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
Frank, do you have any concern after yesterday's loss? Any worries about Michaelis or some players off to a rough start offensively at the top?
I'm not that worried about Miles Michaelis. I don't think he's going 18-4. I think, you know, he's basically still the same guy, just got a couple of pitches up, and I think he'll be just fine. Now, there will be concern with if the right fielder's going to hit enough. But I'm not, like, overly worried, because if he doesn't, I know the guy that made the final out of the game will hit enough. So I'm not worried. I do think that the Brewers are, and the Cubs and the Cardinals are going to be in it to the very end.
Question two, five for Frank. Frank, give me Jack Flaherty's line tonight.
I'll go 6 innings, 1 run, 5 Ks, maybe 5 hits.
Okay, because I know he fared well against the Brewers mostly last year. I'm looking that up real quick. Last season against Milwaukee, he was 1-0 with a 1.93 ERA. That includes 34 strikeouts and 23 1/3 innings pitched.
Wow.
That's a team he fared well against last season.
You know, this could be a night where the Brewers see the most elite of the Cardinals starting staff. Let's say you give them Flaherty for 6,
yes.
Reyes for 7, Miller for 8, and then Hicks for 9.
That would be delightful to see that.
Yeah.
Frank, number three, Blues have 2 games this weekend. What place are they in by the end of Saturday night?
Wow.
Nashville has 2 games as well, I believe, tonight and tomorrow. And yep. Winnipeg, I think, plays on Saturday. So 2 points behind Nashville, 4 behind Winnipeg.
Well, I think they could make a jump there, make one small leap and be in second place there. Yeah, I can see that. I think they're going to win both games.
Hi, Chuck.
Charles Marlowe arriving.
Number four, five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University.
Is this 4 or 3?
This is 4, because okay. It was Cardinals, Flaherty,
get that
Blues.
Martin mask on here.
Number four. We have 10 teams left in the tournament. What is your ideal national championship matchup? Mine, obviously, I'm going for chaos. I want Houston, LSU, because it'll be super awkward for the NCAA. For you, what is your ideal?
Well, I think the most watchable game. This is the darkest restaurant we've ever brought.
You look like a coal miner over here. You should have one of those helmets that has the flashlight on top.
I mean, the one that would garner my attention the most on Monday, April 8th, 8:20 on KMOV would be North Carolina Duke. I'd like to see Tony Bennett win a national championship.
No.
But the one that would grab my attention the most would be Duke, North Carolina.
Chuck?
Well, do you go for brackets or, as Frank said, the best game? I did pick Duke over Carolina in my bracket. However, after watching the first week, I would switch that. I actually think North Carolina will beat Duke. I would like to see Mark Few win a championship. But, man, Duke is so fun to watch this year. And also, you kind of love to hate him, even if you picked him in your bracket. Don't you want to see Zion Williamson play? Just keep seeing him play. He's so fun to watch.
You're right. More Zion, the better. I agree.
Number five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University. Frank, just a quick basketball thought. The Spurs retired Manu Ginobili's number last night. Where would you put him among international basketball
After
players?
Dirk Nowitzki, probably two.
Okay.
Petrovic, and you know, as Bill Walton likes to say, if Sabonis never got hurt, it would be not even a debate. It would be Sabonis.
So is he better Dirk is than one. Tony Parker?
Who's still Manic. Playing. I forgot that
is he really?
He's in Charlotte.
That's right.
I totally forgot about that till the other day. Averaging 9.5 a game for the Hornets.
For some reason, I think that, I mean, I know Parker was a finals MVP, that Ginobili was a little bit more of a game changer. That's a toss-up, though. That's close. Dirk's number one, though.
When it's all said and done, though, will the Greek Freak, at least until somebody potentially replaces him, will the Greek Freak have a better career than Dirk?
Boy, that's a high bar.
He might be the MVP this year.
Yeah.
He's got to win a championship, probably. That'll be tough in Milwaukee.
Boy, and a lot of people for years were saying, well, Dirk just was never going to win one. And then he won one in 11, I believe. I would guess no, but it wouldn't surprise me.
I guess I'll guess no, too. But and I feel bad for Milwaukee. They're getting cut with all these injuries now.
Yeah.
The Greek Freak hurt his
ankle
again
too.
Last night.
Yeah, that was a scary injury.
That's rough.
Even though he said he was fine.
Brought to you by Greenville University. He was walking with a little bit of a limp, though, they said in the locker room. That's unfortunate.
Ice it.
All right.
Tape it up.
Ask Dr. Chuck.
Playoffs are coming, baby. Let's go.
Chuck, you are a Sopranos watcher.
I am, and I was listening. And it's kind of fun to hear you talk about watching. Now, are you watching again or for the
first
time?
No, first time.
How is this possible?
Especially with Cusimano.
Oh, my God.
Dr. Cusimano.
This is crazy. You're like
same with a Z.
You're like the preeminent Italian. Yeah. You're like the spokesperson for Italian people.
I'm late to all these series. I was late to Seinfeld. I was late to Everybody Loves Raymond. I was late to everything.
So I also was. I never had HBO and all that. So 2008, I get laid off from my job in Lansing, Michigan. I was out of work for about 3 months until I got the job at Fox 2. This was about January till about April of 2008. Which was a lot of fun, to be honest with you.
Now, just wait a minute. The laying off, did it have anything to do with lifting with underage kids?
Was there a scandal involved there, Chuck?
I would love to say that.
How could you ever be laid off?
They
You're
laid
the
off 20 people.
Guy ever. Oh,
20
okay.
people.
Are you serious? Wow.
It was just one of those things where I think also in Michigan, I think we kind of saw the downturn a little quicker. They just basically, nobody saw this coming and laid off 20 people. I'd love to say that I couldn't have saved myself with my great work ethic and all that. I don't know. But either way,
it all worked out for the best.
Yes. I bring it up because I had nothing to do for a while, and I had never seen The Sopranos, and I actually didn't have a computer at the time. So this is old school. I would go to the library and start using their computer to send out resumes and whatnot and try to find jobs. And I'm wandering around the library at the time. I still had a VCR. And sure enough, they have The Sopranos on VHS. I'd never seen it.
Really?
So I start watching The Sopranos on VHS tapes. And I kid you not, I think there's something like 81 or 88 episodes. I watched all 80-whatever episodes in about 3 months. And that thing, it took over
episodes.
86. And they're about 40 minutes, right? About 45 minutes an episode? Maybe 50?
53,
they hover
say.
Around an
okay.
hour, yeah.
Let me just tell you that watching The Sopranos was the most important thing in my life for that 3 months. It would be sickening if I told you how many episodes I would watch sometimes in one day. Like, I would have nothing to do. You wake up, okay, you watch a couple, you go work out, come back, watch a couple, maybe go out, but you watch a couple. I have nothing to do. I'm looking for jobs. You can only kind of send out a resume. It takes about 45 minutes. I think one day I watched like 13 Sopranos episodes.
13?
I'm not even joking.
Well, that's a productive day.
It's so good, though.
Oh, it's the best.
It was so good.
Yeah.
Martin Kilcoyne calls. Charlie has to pause The Sopranos to answer the phone call.
No, this was
Wrap
back,
it up,
again,
Marty.
This is when I had nothing to do. So it was kind of the perfect time to just binge on The Sopranos.
And I did are you that. In agreement that Annabella was very stunning?
When you brought her up, I remember that character. I'm going to have to Google her. But I remember that Tony had a couple girlfriends. Obviously, you always had the sexual tension with the therapist.
But you know this girl. This is the one from The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, the Wesley Snipes movie that we just discussed.
I remember the character. I'm going to have to look
Annabella
her up.
Annabella Scorea.
And she's Irish?
She was in Jungle Fever.
Yes.
Is she in Winter's Bone?
There.
Oh, yeah.
Have you watched it yet, Plowsy?
I haven't. I'll have some free time, though.
I remember.
Gotta watch
Don't, Plowsy.
You gotta watch it for Martin.
Oh, yeah. I remember her.
Yeah, she was really neat.
So you're deep in
she
season
was really neat.
Three. I'm trying to think.
Okay,
what...
so here's, in fact, somebody just Long Duck Dong, listener of the program, he says, why do all the women Frank likes have a strong resemblance to the lovely Monique? I do like
That's
that dark
beautiful
look.
Thing.
Yes.
Yes.
I like how also, I don't know what you typed in Google, but also Gabriella Sabatini was on there.
I Googled her name, the character's name, Gloria Trillo. So I don't
Sopranos
know why that
is
came out.
Such a good show, though.
It is.
It's one of those things where I should go back and rewatch it.
It's
but
very
again,
rewatchable.
It'll take over my life, and I'm trying to get into Game of Thrones, and I haven't started yet. And I know the second I do,
Couple
that will
weeks.
Also it will just dominate my life.
New season comes premieres in a few weeks, Chuck. You got to get on that.
I want to be more productive, though. When you get into those shows, that's why, Frank.
Well,
I know
that's
you
why
love...
you do it late at night.
Right.
That's the time you've been working for 11 hours. You need to unwind, and you just.
But that's why I love Billions, because nowadays when Netflix drops all these shows and you can watch 12 in a row, I kind of like the fact that you can just look towards Sunday night, have your dinner, and watch your show, and you only get one episode. And then you have to wait a week. It's kind of more old school.
I agree with that. Now, is there two new Billions episodes out, or is it three now?
At least two.
Okay.
Pretty good season so far.
I love it.
That's a great show.
Let's see, a couple of quick things. If the Blues win the division, they play Dallas in round one. I would rather they play Nashville, so I'm hoping for a number two seed. But I guess you got to beat everybody. Dallas is just tough on the Blues. That is interesting. You'd much rather play Nashville than Dallas, which you would never have said that a year ago.
No, but Dallas has just owned them for whatever reason.
And they've owned Nashville
4-1,
I believe.
Recently, they've beaten up on Nashville.
It's so tough, too, with the hockey playoffs. And I know some people like the divisional aspect of it as opposed to the old school 1-8. But, man, so many times you see two really good teams matching up in the first round, and one of those teams doesn't get past the first round. When you know
that.
There's a good chance they might be one of the best, let's say, five teams
in
the NHL.
I really don't like that.
I've seen it both ways. I've also seen it where it was 1-16. And they didn't give a darn about East or West. It doesn't bother me one way or the other. Whoever you play, if you play them in a 7-game series, you create a rivalry.
Like Blues Hawks a few years ago should not have been a first round matchup. That should have been a conference final.
And that's what I've always said. We discussed this a couple days ago. When you look at the Blues teams that were really good, but so many times they either lost in the first round of Chicago or lost in the first round of the LA Kings, and how many of those years did the team they lose to win the Stanley Cup?
It would
and
happen.
And that's where, look, so the Blues weren't a Stanley Cup champion. But if matchups worked differently, I mean, the Blues could have been one of the best 3, 4, 5 teams, let's say, in the NHL for some of those years. They just happened to match up with the Stanley Cup eventual champion in the first round.
It's luck of the draw. It really is. I mean, there was a year, 2003, Blues ended up, this is when they were doing 1-8. They were 4-5, and they picked up Vancouver and they were like, oh my gosh, we don't have to play Detroit, we don't have to play Colorado. Well, they both lost in the first round, but the Blues lost to Vancouver, so it didn't really matter. I mean, it really is a flip of a coin.
Somebody texting in wondering what the SLU starting five will be next year. I'm going to go Yuri Collins at the point. And you're just going to give that freshman the ball and say, it's yours, we'll take it back in 4 years.
I like it.
Jordan Goodwin at the two. Hassan French probably at the four. Javonte Perkins, he's the JUCO from SWIC, one of the leading JUCO scorers in the country, at that small forward spot, along with Thatch and Gibson Jimerson. And then at five, I'm going to say grad transfer.
I would agree with the grad transfer.
They got that big kid coming in, Bell, who's like 6'11", 280, but I think he needs a little bit of fitness.
And Travis Ford said he thinks Fred Thatch will be a double-digit scorer next season. And he did a lot of the intangibles.
He does a lot of things.
Oh,
well,
he does everything great except really shoot it well.
Don't you also think that for especially his freshman year, can't you see Terrence Hargrove just coming off the bench and being an instant energy, dunks, lobs, just defense, and coming out and kind of being almost like a Vinnie Johnson, just score type off the bench.
In fact, he may beat out Perkins and be that that starting three man. I mean, just think of the weapons. If you have Thatch, Gibson, Jimerson, Javonte Perkins, and Hargrove all sharing that three slot. But I texted with Travis this morning. This is how weird I am, because I got a call from somebody. There's a kid at Mount Verde, Gibson Jimerson, the shooter.
He sounds like a shooter.
Yes. Travis, you're right.
Yeah. There's no
Fletcher
there's
McGee's
no
cousin.
6'9 big guy called Gibson Jimerson.
Yeah. So he's got a 6'9 big with him down there who's undecided. And the guy said some really nice things about St. Louis. And then I asked Travis if they're interested. He said, no, we're not. And I said, what about grad transfers? He goes, that's our focus. They got to get one.
They
a
absolutely
four or
do.
Five, a man, 23, yep. 24 years old.
And keep him in school and keep him healthy.
Just think what grad transfers did for Mizzou. Cassius yes. Robertson, that's why they got to the tournament. Tremaine Isabel, that's why Slu got to the tournament. It's the whole key. But it's kind of tough to monitor it now because the kid's got to, A, be on track to graduate, and B, be unhappy enough, and C, be good enough, he'd come into play.
Yeah.
But how about this, too, with the fact that in recent years, we haven't seen this in every case, but look at Mark Smith. He was able to go from
yeah.
Illinois to a rival in Mizzou without sitting out. Now, I know Drew Smith had to sit out, but it seems like they're making a lot of waivers, if
yeah.
you will, and they're letting the non-grad transfers play immediately. So that's another option. It seems like with Slu, again, I think 2 years from now, you would think they should be back in the NCAA tournament. I think next year is more of a question mark. You're basically needing six new rotational players because mm-hmm. you're only returning three. And we saw what happened at the end of the season. Even though they made the run, they're basically playing six guys. I have confidence, though, because Travis Ford has done really well in the transfer game, and I expect that to continue.
Yeah.
And they get some immediate help for next year.
I'm glad you brought that up because Tuna and Strick were trashing Travis. I don't know why. But they just won 23 games, and he was criticizing about a lack of talent. Think about this for a second. And Bob Ramsey texted in, Travis had a loaded roster that got decimated
right.
by that Title IX debacle. I mean, several guys that he needed for this year would have been here. I mean, like that Jermaine Bishop, that guy was a really good player.
Absolutely.
Could you put him into that lineup?
If he could ever get a full line, because I almost call him the master of the short bench because he's had that since he's been here.
Yeah.
Give him that opportunity to have a full set of nine that he could throw out there on a given night through a whole season, you'd be really impressed by what he could accomplish.
And here's another thing. I've heard or people will talk about the fact that, okay, well, some of the guys he recruited, why do you have the guys in the Title IX investigation? Why would happen this year with Santos, Carter or Gordon transfers? And can you say, okay, well, what kind of kids is he recruiting? And I think that's a fair question to ask. But also, if you have a top 50-type kid in your town, in Carter or Gordon, okay, Carter or Gordon is not going to SLU unless he's from St. Louis. And I understand there were question marks going in. But if you have a top 50-type kid that wants to go to an Atlantic 10 program, you take that kid, mm-hmm. and you take that risk.
Absolutely.
Okay, I yep. know it didn't work out, but you don't say, nah, to the top 50 kid, because you don't get kids like that very often.
No.
The chance to grab a Carter Gordon or a Jordan Goodwin or a guy who's a national recruit.
And here's the thing, too, is you don't blame Travis when it doesn't work out.
That's what I'm saying.
You blame the freaking kid who was given a tutor, a loving assistant coach, a coach who's not a hostile jerk as the head coach. You give him every opportunity to succeed. If that kid doesn't succeed, it's not the coach's fault. It's the knucklehead kid, you know. So.
And what I'm saying is, if you're a fan of this program, if you have that kid and the ability to bring him in, and you hope it works out, but you have to take that chance. It didn't work out, but don't you have to take that
if
chance?
If he's a local kid, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, maybe if you're Duke, you don't have
That's
to take
I'm
that
saying.
Chance.
Well, yeah.
At SLU, when you're winning, you know, 17 games like they did maybe the year before, you take a chance.
Absolutely.
But with Duke, if you don't pick, let's say, the 52nd ranked prospect in the country, you're going to get the 48th or you're going to get the 57th.
Yeah.
With Travis Ford, Carter Gordon went to SLU because he's from St. Louis. They weren't going to get, like, let's say, some other kid who was ranked 62nd in the country.
Out of Virginia or
correct.
Somewhere else. Yep, correct.
All right, what do we have coming up in the Coveted Hour?
Coveted Hour, Midday Grind. Beautiful show. A lot of baseball talk. We're going to make.
What?
We're going to make. Oh, beautiful show. Beautiful bar here, Hot Shots. I love this place. I was here for a TMA Live once years ago. I remember coming here out to St. Chuck. We're going to make sweeping generalizations.
Yes.
Off of one baseball game.
Absolutely.
We're going to watch one 9-inning game, and we're going to have hot takes coming up next.
All right.
Jim Huer, Brian Hoffman, Charlie Marlowe, the coveted hour, live from Hot Shots in St. Charles. Next, it's the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.